This man needs medical attention.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
98. Thank you, inept hero. I was wrong. It's Madison beer. I don't know why Miranda was in my head. I just remember beer. I ordered the wrong beer. Madison beer. But she'll come up if you just put in beer. And many, many of you are doing it right now and emailing
Maybe
me.
Maybe it's your crossover with Miranda Kerr.
I don't know that I had a crossover with her, but perhaps you're just mentioning a Miranda, and that's possible. I don't know why. M-words. I just remember beer, because that's what I said while I was looking at her photos. Evidently, she's a singer, too. I don't know anything about the woman other than she's too pretty to be on pictures. We've never had that problem before in society. That's one where people are actually angry at how pretty she is. Stop it. Stop being beautiful. Do something awful. Quickly. Stop combing your hair. Make a rat's nest. And do you ever, as a parent, do you ever go to your daughter and go, do you like this Miranda? Do you need to stop looking at her because you're a slug and there's no possible way you're ever going to achieve this? So just lower the bar for yourself. You'll never be this. This is amazing. You're you. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome. That's why I'm here. Just pull you back down to earth and let you know that that is something Daddy loves and you're something I have to love. That's the difference. Too pretty. I can't imagine ever being on, like, the Steelers website or something and go, I used to be able to throw a football pretty good. I'm going to email Ben Roethlisberger and tell him, you know what? You're a little bit too good at football. You're kind of showing off at this point. We like that, don't we? Like when people get to a certain level and go, Jesus, they're outstanding at whatever
that
is.
Not when he's not on your team.
Right, but would you ever email somebody and go, you need to pull it down a notch. You're setting an unhealthy bar for how great. Like Tom Brady, that's too much good. You know, these kids in high school that think that they can be you, they can't, and it's just going to end up disappointing them. It's like,
well, there's a percentage of society that, you know, the trolling thing is real. They just do it to stir it up.
I think it's great. But that stirred it up to the point where people had, like, she got enough people on her Instagram to go, oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. You're too pretty.
There's always the layers on the stirring up, though. Yeah. The people that want to jump in just to
throw the
fire. The trolls are actually, in my opinion, trolls aren't going after the person. They're trying to get the people who are afraid to actually be out loud about it to feel like there's power in numbers. I think she's too pretty and she's setting an unhealthy bar. And then some slug goes, yeah, finally someone said it, so I'll say it too. And then they jump and then all these people jump in and it gets hilarious. I find it hysterical. I find the whole thing just laugh out loud hysterical. Somebody emailed me and said, what do you think? 10% of the police department are bad. What's your thoughts on this, John? I don't know how you even find that out. Yeah. Have you got, I don't know.
Well, when they did the sweeps in New York, what was it, in the 80s? It was all corrupt.
Oh, yeah. LA had a little problem.
Yeah, you know, every place has a problem when you get power and money and nobody paying attention. But I don't know how you can say 10%. And the only way to find out who a bad cop is usually after they've done something bad. And then you're like, oh, geez, we had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, think of your office. We have probably 100 people, 85 people that work in this. Well, I mean, not anymore. We have about 77 people that work in this office, and that number's going the other way. Anyway.
Well, they released all the stuff on that cop yesterday.
But that's what I'm saying.
18 different violations in the past.
If you've got 77 or 80 people in your office, there's no way that all of them are good.
Sure.
You got a few pricks.
They're humans, too.
Yeah, everybody's pricks. You got pricks in every group of 20, you're going to have probably two or three
guys that are
bad.
It shouldn't be shocking to anybody. No. You know, in everybody's workplace, you're right. They have that. Politics, sports.
Right.
All around us, there are assholes.
But you can't quantify the percentage of how many bad cops there are until they do something. Like, you're just normal people until something happens.
Standard with that particular
job. There's standard that's there, but I'm saying that you won't know how bad they actually are until they go down that road. Now, maybe they're a little aggressive or whatever, but that's not against the rules. It's just, boy, this guy takes it. And then until they do something like this, you're like, holy cow, he's a really bad guy.
Yeah, he went from little aggressive to
oh, my
top.
God, what the hell is this? So, yeah, there's no way to say that. And people want answers. People want, like, how many bad cops are there? If it's 90% are good, you say 10% are bad. I'm not saying 10% of them are bad. I'm saying you won't know until it's too late. So there's no way to actually put a number on that. Sure, there's bad people in every profession. It doesn't mean all of them.
Look, the average shows that it's 10%, so we're going to get rid of 10% of the
force. Right, yeah, we're going to just randomly fire 10%.
One, two, three,
then guess
four.
What you've got? 10% of the new number is sucky.
Yeah.
Isn't it almost like teachers, though? They need more cops. Mm-hmm. Like, that's that's the thing. Then you're kind of, your standards get lower.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
So yeah, you know, there's always bad people in and amongst stuff. You didn't, we didn't know KSLX for a while. There had some lady at the front desk taking her lunch hour to go rob houses. This was years ago, but she was robbing houses. We didn't. Nobody knew. Nobody had a clue.
She was seemed good at it.
She seemed totally great at work functions and in the office, and then she gets caught and she goes in and goes, and she was trying to rob one of the coworkers because she knew for a fact this lady stays at work for lunch. Her house is not, she's like, I know where this one lives, and she's got cool stuff, and was going to break into her house and got nabbed doing it. And it's like, that's my house. You're breaking into your coworkers' homes? Yeah, because I know you guys aren't home. I know it's so until it happened, nobody knew what a horrible beast this person was. And that's the goal of the horrible beast, is to blend with the normal and then go do horrible beast stuff on the side. You can't tell who's bad until they're bad. And if they're just flailing around how bad they are before they do anything bad, then they're just dumb.
But then it goes back to what you were talking about yesterday, where, you know, it is weird how they just continues to be the same
kind
of situation over and over again.
Can't be explained.
So it's there's a problem.
There's a light on it.
Watch any of those documentaries about the cartels or narcotics, and it's like every time, no matter what the year is, there's so many people on the payroll.
Oh, yeah. They pay off a ton of folks.
And it's going on right now.
Right.
Because it's a real thing.
Well, especially in the cartel where Mexico's cops don't necessarily get paid that well, and these cartel guys are like, trust me, just stay in the office. Here's an extra however much money you need to float, and you just kind of keep an eye on things coming toward, at least tip us off. It's easy.
It's happened all throughout history.
It's never going to stop happening. That'll never stop happening. That will never, so long as currency is wildly important, and it always will be, it'll never stop happening. So yeah, these people, you know, it's an interesting thought to say, well, 10% are bad. Yeah, okay, maybe. Find them. Go meet 25 cops and pick out the bad one.
Sure.
You can't do it.
Unless that's why they have internal affairs.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless he's horrible. And the cops, trust me, my cop buddies tell me all the time, it's like that internal affairs thing is constant. I mean, in their lives, these guys are constantly being scrutinized. And that's what makes this even weirder, is that this guy felt the need to do whatever he was doing. And knowing he was going to get investigated. So he didn't
in
fear
school,
it.
That's a B-plus standard. What? If you have 90%.
Sure, you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good. Most offices have 90% of people that you can deal with. And then a couple people, you're like, ugh, I don't know. I can't wait for this guy to screw up till he's fired. Moynihan.
Just kidding. Moynihan.
I don't know. I just don't like him sometimes.
I don't think he'd hurt a fly.
I just wish he'd get into a car and then come out as a young, better-looking man. Like the video promised me.
You will never let them live that down.
I should never let them live that down. That was awful. That was just an awful thing.
Did they apologize to Moynihan?
We need you.
No.
Nobody apologized to
downstairs, Moynihan? No. The people in charge of putting schlub Moynihan in the car and saying, all right, when this thing all culminates into the end, you get out and then it'll be beautiful Dustin down the hall, young, virile, handsome man. But you get in this car.
Ugh, you're the before picture.
You are big time before picture. You are everything no one wants to be. And then when it gets out, it'll be like, oh, wow, that car transformed him into this beer lady.
You're right. Guys are cooler because a woman would have filed a complaint with HR.
Told the ladies downstairs, I'm like, all right, I'm going to cast the exact same commercial with you ladies. Let's see. Who's going to step up to be the ugly one? And they're all like, you're an asshole. I'm like, am I? Because that's what you did to Moynihan. And then Moynihan still yells at me. He goes, I don't know if you were even standing up for him, making fun of me. And I'm like, I was completely standing up.
Well,
that
was a little both.
I was making fun that he didn't have the guts to. Well, he had plenty of those. That's why they cast him. But I'm saying.
Maybe we need to start to filing complaints.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the answer.
The only way for tyranny to flourish is if good people stand by and do nothing.
Maybe
and
we
I
should
wouldn't
riot.
Do that. I wouldn't do that for Moynihan.
Let's riot for Moynie.
Yes. Let's turn over all the girls' desks downstairs.
Okay.
Maybe burn Kristen's down.
Let's get Brady in on this.
Brady, you want to burn Kristen's desk down today? For all men's rights and the mistreatment of Steve Moynihan? Good
roll some
dude.
Cars in the parking lot.
He's a good man. Didn't deserve that. We all stood by and went, oh, well. Mm-hmm. But then I wanted to film a new commercial. Which one of you is the ugliest? I'm going to cast you. I'll let you guys vote on it. And then stir it up.
Every time they ask for ideas from you for like your little videos, this is what your
constant.
Idea should be.
It's been happening. Eric, without you knowing it, every time I'm like, you know what we could do? is get the girls downstairs to vote on who they think is the ugliest one. Because that's a really good idea. Just an anonymous vote, and we'll draw out of a hat like Survivor and say, to play the part of the ugliest one, all the ladies have written down a name. And then that one wins, and then the prettiest one, and then we draw out of that one.
There's the cast.
Oh, my God, the firestorm. We'll hire Gabrielle Union from America's Got Talent, who's upset about everything. Did you see their list of grievances? I sent it to all you guys, but yeah. The one of the things, and we talked about it earlier this week, and again, it's deflected now that people won't pay attention. Her and Juliana Huff had gone to HR for several things. One was the Jay Leno joke where he said something about there's more dogs on stage here than there are on a Korean restaurant's menu or something like that. And people are like, well, that's kind of racist.
So Jay Leno was on that show?
He sat in for a few episodes. They always have like a guest judge.
How does it work when you do a complaint against the guest?
Well, they did a complaint against the producers for creating an unhealthy work environment and allowing that.
Like the producers knew exactly what he was going
to
say?
Well, no, but they allowed that type of behavior to persist without saying a word to Jay Leno. Like that, what they wanted at the time was everybody to go, all right, no, Jay Leno, that's terrible, and you're out of here. And he got to come back a couple more times, and they fought. And then the other one was there was an insensitive comedian on stage doing impressions of people of color, and he's white. And for some reason, that went to the, I'm like, well, there, this is the end of
even
that.
Even though he nailed the voices.
He was really good to Jay-Z doing nursery rhymes, the white guy. And I'm not even sure he's 100% white, but they were like, this, and they went and filed the thing. It said, this is a culture problem. You guys don't seem to have this down. In a world of diversity, how could you have a white man doing black impressions on television? And it's like, okay. And I guess the producers are like, yeah. Thanks, Gabrielle. You're doing great here. Thanks.
Maybe I was wrong. I couldn't fathom a world where that would be an issue, but.
Oh, it's somebody's got anybody's got a beef and a voice, and so she threw that out there. And NBC's like, "What are we going to do? Like, this isn't any big deal." But they filed a complaint. Do we? And now you couldn't possibly ever have another white.
How
comic
PC
under
are we supposed to get here?
Exactly.
Jeez.
Where does that? That's why I was saying about the Fallon thing. Sure, he'll be fine. Where does that domino stop falling?
Yeah, before you know it, we'll have Brady doing dad jokes on stage.
Eventually, impressionists are only going to be able to do impressions of themselves. And the only thing I'll be allowed to do is Mark Kelly. That's pretty much all we're going to get to. I'll just have to learn how Ed Begley sounds because he sounds just like him. And I'll be able to do Mark Kelly and maybe James Carville and cartoon characters. And until that's wrong. Because how dare I do somebody with hair? I mean, that's awful. Or how dare you do an impression of a bald guy when you have hair?
Your Mike Tyson's very, very good, and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I've got some great blacks.
they're part of the repertoire.
I'm actually really good at the blacks. I got Ray Lewis. I've got O.J. Simpson. I've got a lot of really good blacks. And I'm like, if that becomes a thing where you're white, you can't do those voices. I'm like, I'm just trying to sound like the guy. Is that bad? Yes. Oh.
Although the Evander Holyfield was probably a little.
That was terrible.
Yeah,
it
was pretty.
But that was an accurate representation of a post-fight interview I watched him do with Larry Merchant once where he actually couldn't say Spearmint.
You know, he just got his head beat in. I mean, yeah. Give the guy a break. Right?
He won the fight.
Still, you're getting your head
tough
beat
interview.
In. Yeah, it's tough to do
I
an interview.
I did Larry
right
Merchant,
after that.
Too, but we always have the interview, and everybody's always said that. Afterwards, maybe we shouldn't talk to the boxers because there
especially
might not be
especially the guys that Joe Rogan said that. Especially the guys that lose.
Oh, they're not in their best brain space at that point.
It just got knocked out, and you want me to interview him? Like,
thank you, Larry.
Later.
That's all I heard. Thank you, Larry. I just want to thank the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spearmint. And I'm like, what did he just call Jesus, the Holy Spearmint?
Your brain scrambled.
Yeah, but that's an impression.
No,
of
it's
a situation.
Funny.
Well,
I'm not saying
hilarious.
It's not fun. It's
wildly funny. But now you can't even, like, you know, now it's black voice. That's a thing now.
Brady might be offended by people doing him.
Yeah. Well, again.
Did you ask? I don't know.
No.
Don't
Nobody's
care.
Asked you, Brady?
And here's another thing. Don't care. if you get pissed off at something that meaningless.
You should go to HR.
Yeah. All I've ever said is, you know, validity towards the people you're making mad. Usually it's a valid approbation when you've pissed someone off and you're like, they're mad at that? Well, good. Then I pissed off the right person and they've revealed themselves as someone I never want to be around.
Could you imagine?
The only time it gets tough is the every once in a while, Larry's the repeater. And if you're talking to him about something serious and he's repeating
That's more
say,
annoying, not offensive.
Yeah, that's not offensive.
You're confusing.
I don't know
annoying.
If you can go to HR for annoying.
Yeah. Well, evidently you can because Gabrielle Union's got a lawsuit against NBC for annoying.
Yeah, that smoking thing was kind of annoying.
Look, Frank Caliendo's kid has a peanut allergy. So it's, you know, if I'm eating loads and loads of peanuts and Frank's kid's around and he's like, I can't be around this. I'm like, well, I don't have a gun to your head. Walk away. I enjoy peanuts. It's not illegal to like peanuts.
You're on my show. Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. You're in here. This is your problem. This is your cross to bear. I don't have to worry about your peanut problems at home. I'm sorry. That's a terrible thing you're dealing with. I eat peanuts. Well, could you not do it around me? No.
And Simon Cowell, if it says no smoking, any smoking, then maybe you have something.
He's
there.
The executive producer. It's his show. He'll just walk over and take
that.
But if
it's an area that's no smoking.
But he'll take the no smoking sign off and go, now what do you want to do? Because I own this building. And yeah, if it's illegal statewide and it's like whatever, then you've got a thing. But you can't tell NBC he was outside smoking where it's completely legal. And I would stand there and ask him to stop. And he's like, I smoke. Well, I'm allergic. Well, then walk away from it. How are you outside? If smoking, look at the roads and the stuff cars puke out and all that. How are you breathing if you have an allergy so bad that it's.
I mean, I hate smoking too.
So do I, but that's an annoyance. That's not offensive. It's annoying. And you avoid it.
And if you're taking a hit and then blowing it into the person's face.
Yeah, John used to do that to you all the
time. Hilarious. Because you hated the smell.
But you have a legit.
Now, if you had a medical problem and I was doing it. And I'm like, you can't leave this room or you're fired. Smoke.
You got a legit.
Then you
complaint.
Got something like, hey, asshole, I really do have like a lung disorder here.
Doesn't matter, even if they said knock it off.
Right, right. Chuck had COPD, and I used to like to go up and blow in his face and stuff and replace his tank of oxygen with Marlboro remnants. Then you got something. But yeah, when you're just outside smoking and you wander over to the smoker and go, would you stop that? I'm allergic. I'm like, you were over there a minute ago. This wasn't a problem until you walked over to me. I'm not blowing smoke on you. I'm blowing it in the air, and that's completely legal. We're confusing annoyances with offensive behavior. It's not. It's totally different. But that whole thing, when I read that and I sent it to you guys, I'm like, the seed's planted. I didn't expect it to actually be a thing either. But you know, white comedians doing voices of people of color. And it wasn't even just like black guys. It was, you know, he did Gabriel Iglesias, if I'm not mistaken. He's like, you can't do that. You can't. That's for only for the people who look exactly like them. And I'm like, wow. I'm waiting for this one where the new technology where the faces of celebrities can be placed over you and you do the voice. That's kind of a new techno blackface. Like, if I did Chris Rock's actual face over my face on, like, what Adam Ray, the comedian,
yeah,
is doing right now, he does constantly.
A bunch of different
and
people.
It looks like the
Robert
person.
Robert Downey Jr.
He's doing, and it's their face, and it's the
Dr.
It's
Phil.
The masquerade thing, and it's, yeah. If the impression's good or bad, it doesn't even matter because he's cheating.
Yeah.
It looks like the person 100%, but if he does a black guy, is that techno blackface? Because it is.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah. But we're drawing lines that are just moving constantly. And if,
how do you feel about that? Would you say it's a?
Well, I think it's cheating. I think it's cheating impressionists. I think that's cheating.
Why?
Because it's about the sound. And because his impressions aren't very good. Adam Ray'd be the first to tell you. But people are like, that's amazing. It fools people into thinking that it's a thing. And it's like, well, that's the technology doing the work. It's like robots doing impressions. It's like, oh, okay.
So he's a hack, is what you're saying?
It's hacky. I'd tell Adam that in a heartbeat. I think it's completely.
Wait a minute! Didn't you guys used to do the little? You had the little sticks with the.
That
mask
was that, but that's a prop.
News
a prop is a little funny, and that's not to look like him. That's to just do the thing so Fox 10 could follow along. It's, you know, and I would. They clearly knew it was me.
Yeah.
The deep fake of where it's actually the face over the thing, and it's moving, and it's got. It's like it's kind of creepy. Like when you see that, like that one thing they did,
and then
it
goes back to what they're talking about too. I mean, like Will Ferrell doing his. Impressions of Harry Carey.
Yeah.
Will used to admit that he was not very good at it either.
But the exaggeration
part of it.
But
he made a caricature.
He made
a caricature of what it was doing. He didn't do a very good George Bush either, but it became his most well-known thing. So, yeah, I mean, that's just taking it to another level. And that's what the fun of it is. If it's not supposed to be a perfect look. And it's supposed to, you're supposed to embody. Like what Caliendo was great at is making the face. Like, holy Christ, he just turned into the guy for a second.
Here's the thing. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. If you go down for it,
I feel the same way. If you have, again, it's malicious intent.
Right.
And again, if that, I have the Chris Matthews attitude. I didn't really do anything wrong, but you know what? If this is the way the world works, I don't fit in anymore.
Right.
Adios, everybody. I'll go be at Starbucks for a
while. Time to check out.
Yep. I don't think I'm right for this. And then I'll do a podcast like Alex Jones where I'm mad at everybody. And I'm my own boss.
That's true.
And I will eat you.
I'll eat all of you.
The man got rid of me, but I'm fighting back.
And you've got an argument to that because there's a giant group of people who feel like that's the world they live in and they can't fight back. But it is weird that you would even go to an HR complaint and the minute you say diversity or unhealthy workplace, and here's the reasons why, it can't be argued. Like it made her uncomfortable. No matter how silly it is or not, it made her uncomfortable. You're like, well, we got to have a quality workplace.
It's and weird. Once it's reported to the one person, well, now they got to.
Yeah.
I got to go to HR.
Now I've got, yeah, once she says it, if I ignore it, now you're we're really trouble. Getting sued.
Yep.
So any complaint is heard. It's kind of a, I miss the old days where your boss would go, get back to work. But I don't like that he smokes. Don't stand by him. It's the old thing. The guy went to the doctor.
I'll go say something to him like, if you're going to smoke, keep it in the smoking area. Or, you know.
Right. But it's still the, well, now you have to put out a memo.
It's hard to do that to the boss.
Yeah. Before, when you go to, you go to the guy who owns the place and he's smoking outside and you go walk up to him and go, I wish you'd stop doing that. I have an allergy. And he just look at you about 10 years ago and go, go stand over there.
Eat a D.
Yeah, kind of. You wouldn't be really rude, but you're standing by me. I didn't come towards you. Standing by me. You go stand somewhere else. It's the old joke where the guy goes to the doctor and says, hey, doc, my arm really hurts when I move it like this. What do you think? And the doc's like, don't move it like that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm cured. It's simple logic. If somebody in your office smokes and you don't like it, don't stand by them while they're smoking. That has cured the problem. Just because you don't like smoking. I don't like smoking. I grew up with my mom smoking in a car, and the car stunk so bad it made me nauseous. Not my problem. Yeah. Now, if I had a medical...
Don't bring back those good memories.
If I had a medical disorder, my mom kept doing it. She just hates me. And that's plenty of moms. She should have given me back and named me Huxley. Yeah, it's just weird. We just don't have any ability to step away from something we don't like without screaming out, I don't like that, so that's wrong, and it needs to be stopped. It's like... Kind of, I guess. I don't know. We have, like, Ben smokes here in the building, right?
Yeah.
And he has a spot he goes and smokes in.
Yep.
If I went and stood by him and complained about it, I'm the asshole.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. That's me being the butthole, right? Like, he's doing it right. And maybe I want to talk to Ben. Maybe I'm like, I like Ben's company. He's funny. I want to hang out with him. He's going to go outside and smoke. I should make this whole conversation about how that makes me sick. Well, there's plenty of spaces for you to not be sick.
What if he's standing right in front of a like a locker I need to get into or something?
Well, then I would have to say, this is not the designated smoking section, so you're kind of doing it wrong right now.
I'll knock him out.
And then I will bash his face right in. I will bash his face into that locker until he bleeds to death on the floor. And then you know what I'll do? I'll just ceremonially take that lit cigarette and put it out on him and go, no smoking.
Yes.
And then I'm Clint Eastwood.
Anarchy,
yeah.
John.
That's
anarchy.
That's not anarchy.
Hell yeah.
That's just a cool exit. That's all that is.
It's yeah, that's thing. Like a superhero
yeah,
move.
It's what Arnold Schwarzenegger used to do. He'd kill the guy that wronged him, and then he'd pick up whatever his identifier
stick around,
was. Yeah,
stab
exactly.
a knife through
stab.
Him.
Right. Right. Or you just you impale him with the sword into a wall. Stay. And then you walk away like, whoa, The Dog Trainer is a great movie.
I don't remember that one.
He got
I just
up.
Made it up. If it was a dog trainer that got mixed up into international espionage. All of his commands would be awesome. I've been working on this with a friend of mine, the dog trainer, because he uses his dogs for – he has to train them all to get these guys. It turns out somebody calls him up and says, I'd like my dogs trained. Really, this is my pitch to you guys for my movie idea.
Oh. And there's a lot of TV
like the
shows.
Amazing Dobermans rebooted in a way?
No. He's just training, and then this lady's like, I've got these dogs. And he realizes, oh, she's trying to create this army of dogs to do like her bidding. So I'm just giving her the basics. And he realizes there's something else going on underneath. So then he trains the dogs to bring him papers and things like that and find things. And she catches on. And then all hell breaks loose. And then he flips a guy. He's a big, strong Arnold Schwarzenegger. Flips a guy over. And he lands and breaks his neck. And he goes, roll over. Because it's just so many commands with dog training that would be great.
So this isn't like a Cesar Millan type
No. This is a bad mother. Like he's a SEAL Team 6 that when he came back decided to train dogs.
A dog trainer.
Because my dog trainer was military.
Who's the bad guy?
It's pretty good.
The dog.
The bad
trainer.
Guy is the lady. He hires him to come over and train his. Because it kind of goes off of Boys of Brazil. They trained all the dogs in Boys of Brazil to have movie commands,
like
cut, print, action, and all these Doberman would kill on this man's command people he did not like. Off of his and the guy figured it out and he's like the Dobermans are doing it. They've been trained to like on these commands. And it was kind of a cool little thing. So if you trained him to do things, so this bad guy's trying to train his dogs, But he uses the dog trainer to get the tips and clues on how to do it. And the dog trainer catches on to the fact that he's no good because he's a SEAL Team 6 guy. Oh, it's a great idea. And it's better than Hobbs and Shaw just on the principle. And that was a billion-dollar movie. So
okay.
This is great. Plus, all the walkaway lines are amazing.
Who would you have your dogs kill first? Moynihan?
Shh, bad boy. And I would stab Moynihan, and then my dogs would devour him from the nuts to the neck like a 2-pound trout. You have been transformed. I think it's great.
He lost his head.
And just look at Steve, and he's standing there going, don't kill me, don't kill me. And I'm like, before, can I kill him? After.
God, the women make fun of him, and we make fun of him.
Well, I'm not making fun of him. I need him to stand up for himself because, again.
We're shaming him into standing up for himself.
Yes, tyranny flourishes when good men do nothing, and I'm trying to make Steve recognize that.
That's true.
You can't just sit back and allow it to happen to you. Then it's just chaos and anarchy. Huh. Can't have that. Yeah. Bad boy. And just stabbing everybody. And wrapping people up with leashes and hanging them. Oh, it's a great idea. So many things you can do with a dog trainer as a tough guy. 80s action movie would be great. But it'd have to be politically correct, and the only people he could kill would be terrorists. And
you can't CGI the dogs either.
I don't know. Can I do an impression of Arnold anymore since he's not a person of color, but he's foreign. So maybe only Austrians can do him now. Who knows? It's 7:03. What do you got on the big board of musical treats over there?
Wake up song brought to you by ELOteam.com. Thinking about buying or selling a home, please get in touch with us. We can help you out. We have a free buyer's guide on our website you can download. ELOteam.com. Doyle's up here. Cemetery Sex. Royal Blood. Figure It Out. The White love Stripes. It. Icky Thump. Pantera. Drag of the Waters.
I love the Royal Blood. We're going to go with Royal Blood. Okay. Figure It Out's a great one. I had a weird thing happen yesterday where all of a sudden I get a phone call on my phone. That's what happens.
That's how it works.
But it's on my personal phone, you know? And guy on the other end says, hey, how are you?
You answered it?
Yeah, because I was like, this is curious. And waiting for my Jeep, because I got my Jeep in the thing. Oh. So I'm picking up the phone for unknown numbers. Very rare of me. And he said, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. How are you? And he goes, he says his name. And he says, I'm with this organization. And I just wanted to say that I got done interviewing Bill Burr. And he rattled off a few people. And he goes, and I wanted to interview and put you in a group of people that I find to be funny. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Who are you again? He tells me again. And I'm like, what's the thing? And he tells me again. He starts to interview me. It was like this impromptu phone interview. And I'm like, I got to ask you a question. How did you get my number? And he goes, same way I got Bill Burr's number. I'm good. And I'm like, I'm impressed. I should be angry, but I'm super impressed. So, yes, I'll take the interview.
But what's he interviewing you for now?
He's got a website publication for comedians. He lives in Vegas or something, and he does some thing. And he's like, I've listened to you for a long time. He said, I saw you at this thing. And he goes, and I just wanted to – and he listens to the Caliendo podcast. And he goes, I just wanted to interview you for this because he wanted to do, like, his top 10 people that are funny to him. I don't know.
This is just some random dude.
Yeah, and he's got a thing. And then I'm like, all right.
Now
I'm not going to promote
up
it.
More unknown numbers.
I'm not going to promote it until I say, yeah, but I'm like, how did you do that? And he goes, I'm good. I'm like, man, you're the new Toledo. If you want a job, you're, because that dude can't get a phone number.
Wow,
we're still
quick,
waiting
huh?
for we're still waiting for Kenny Mayne to call in. That was 14 years ago. And I'm like, wow. And I was more impressed because he said, yeah, I just got off the phone with Bill Burr and he played me a little clip on it. I'm like, you did. I'm like, did he know you were going to call? And he goes, nope. And I'm like, so you just kind of ISIS interview, like you do these like Spanish Inquisition or terrorist interviews, and yeah. People are too like impressed with the idea that you did it. Like if you asked for my social security number or something, might have been onto him, but he was just asking regular questions.
Just the last four, man.
Like I find this to be quite amazing. I don't even care what your publication is. Well done. So I got this guy. I'm like, you got all their numbers? And he goes, yeah, I'm good at this. Holy Moses.
A little stalkerish.
It's a whole bunch stalkerish, but in a way that you're impressed to where it's like, you can get Bill Burr on the phone pretty easy. You know, Richard's not feeling too well, so I think maybe Toledo could take a step back to the guy who can get numbers. Richard just sits in the other room and edits things now. And gets mad when I go long on commercials.
He's reprimanded
defeated.
You pretty good.
Man, reprimand, shmepperman. I still did what I wanted. And then I flipped him off the balcony. Roll over. Stay. The dog trainer coming this fall. Good boy. I can see this happening.
It's about what he's reduced to. He's like 80 years old.
And it would kind of be funny, And at the same time, like, wow, some of the action in this is great. But it takes, like, because exit lines are, everybody wants a good exit line. When you get into, if you could get into a meeting and you have, like, a good, like, people like, man, I love when he leaves and he always says something perfect. Like the jerk store in Seinfeld. Yeah. That's it. I'm done. You drop the mic moment and you leave meetings and stuff. That's what we all learn from Arnold movies. And I want more of that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell? 98. I'm not cool with this at all.
K-U.